Now on Sports Talk, it's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer of the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to take your questions about the great outdoors in South Carolina. Give him a call at 888-898-2525. It's SC Wild from DNR on the Sports Talk Radio Network.
And we welcome in once again the Major Billy Downer from the Department of Natural Resources. He is on location. I wanted to go on location somewhere. I wanted to be in the great outdoors. He's in the great outdoors watching softball tonight. Major, how are you?
Absolutely. We're at the home of the Mid-Carolina Rebels tonight, top of the fifth. Softball regional play for the upstate.
And the score is?
The score is 1-0. Your Daniel Lions are up.
Your Daniel Lions.
Your Daniel Lions are up, yeah.
And you're there because you have a
pull for my daughter's team.
You have a rooting interest in the Daniel team, right?
Absolutely. It feels like yesterday I was watching her play softball, and now I'm watching her coach it. So, hey.
Is she the head coach?
She is the assistant coach.
And enjoying it.
Varsity.
Enjoying it.
This is their first trip back to regionals in 4 years, so they're excited.
Very good. We're glad you're taking time out. Keep one eye on the softball and one ear on us. You'll do just fine. And our phone number to reach the Major tonight, Major Billy Downer from DNR. I know you got questions about things happening in the great outdoors. He'll have some topics to toss around as well. Our phone number, 888-898-2525 is how you can reach him, and we'll put you right through. No question is out of bounds, off limits, anything about licensing to safety to anything related to DNR type stuff. He is the guy to ask. I've got something here from the start. A couple of weeks ago, made the trip over to a place called Eudora Wildlife Safari Park over near Aiken, over in Aiken County, just across the border into Aiken County. Are you familiar with this place?
I have heard of this place. They got a giraffe and a couple of exotics, right?
Well, they have more than just a couple. They got it's a 2.5. Once you go in there, you know, you stay in your car. It's a 2.5 mile roundabout drive that you go take, winding up.
I've seen pictures on Facebook of families going through that. I have.
And you feed the animals, come up to your car, and they give you, well, you purchase it as you go in. You purchase the vegetables or whatever. And the animals come right up to your window, and you feed them. And, I mean, ostrich, and I don't know. I know they had longhorns. They had safari. They had giraffes. They had all kind of stuff. But it was just, you know, crazy how they're so trained.
They didn't have dangerous game, though, like lions going to the car.
No, didn't see lions, didn't see tigers. Right. It was all pretty calm. But I didn't know if you'd heard about it and if DNR has to, like, keep an eye on places like that.
No, exotic animals like that, you know, those are kind of, they are regulated. Typically, that's regulated through a zoo network, but we get involved if something illegal is brought in without permits. So, yes, it is something we do get involved with, you know, when it's just, when it kind of, again, when something's wrong, we get involved typically. So, no permitting, those kind of things. We've gotten involved in the past. And it's never good for the animal. So
yeah.
But anyway.
Well, these animals all look to be in great health and great shape.
Sure.
And a lot of deer and various forms of animals with horns and and you know, big animals who are kind of short, and they come up your window and stick their mouth up. You can, like, look right down their throats. And the ostrich has no fear. The ostrich walks up to your car and will stick the head in the window and attack your food, attack that bowl going after the food. You had to be on your toes with the ostrich.
Got it. So tonight, though, Phil, tonight, back to your favorite topic. We are going to play back on alligators tonight because it is time to put in for your alligator tags now for the public hunt, for the public draw.
Mm.
From May 1st through 5 o'clock on June 15th, folks can go online to the DNR website, a licensing app now, and put in for alligator tags. It's $10 to put in. Remember, it's non-refundable, and it will get you in the selection, the draw for the alligator hunts. Remember, there are four regions on alligators across the state. There's four alligator management
units. The Unit 1 is the Southern Coastal. Unit 2 is the Middle Coast. Unit 3 is the Midlands, which is pretty much all of Lake Marion. And then Unit 4 is the PD. So you have to pick your unit when you put in for the draw, and you're going to get drawn for the unit you put in for. So if you're wanting to go hunting on the coast, you better put in for the unit where you want to go hunting. If you want to go hunt an alligator on Lake Marion, then you better go put in for Unit 3. That's what you have to draw, get you put in for, be drawn for. Remember, every year you're not selected, you get a what's called a preference point, and those preference points add up, and they put you in front of everybody else. For the more preference points you have, the more in front of the line you get, pushed to the front of the line. So, but now's the time to put in for your alligator tags. You know, alligator season doesn't start until noon on September 10th this year, and we'll go through noon of October the 8th, which is basically, I think it's the second Saturday in September, and it goes through the, again, the second Saturday in October. So that's basically how it usually runs.
What kind of year do you think we're going to have on the alligator side of things in terms of the harvesting?
I think it's always a great prospect for people. You know, there's plenty of alligators out there. What typically happens, though, is people are looking for a big gator. And what they always do is they wait and they pass on 8-footers. They pass on a 9-footer. They're trying to get a 10, 11, 12-footer because they've seen somebody else got a 13-footer somewhere on the canal or where else. And they want to get that big one. Or they misjudge a gator's head. They go, well, I want a bigger one. And they keep waiting, and all of a sudden they're down to the last day, and they miss out because the gators have gotten smart. Because the more they get harassed, the better they get. I mean, you know, again, they got a little small size brain, the size of a walnut. They still do learn over time. If you're getting harassed by boats, I need to get out of here. I need to go under and get away. Or go under a mat of grass so they can't see me. So they come up for breath. But, you know, again, gators, that bubble nose, I've watched them sit down underwater for an hour, come back up, whoosh, just stick that nose up, open those nostrils up, take one breath, and go right back down. And their eyes never came out of the water.
And stay down for like an hour?
And stay down for another hour, yes. Yes.
Wow.
I've told that story before. I was on an alligator hunting, 102-degree weather in July, trying to go to the beach. Had to wait for this alligator. For my job. I was still working that day. And when I got off, I was going to the beach to meet my family. And I'm sitting there on this gator. And the alligator man sitting there with me, he said, Billy, they won't be longer than 58 minutes, the longest I've ever had one. Well, this one went over an hour. We beat the record, of course, when I'm sitting there wanting. And that was the gator that went up. I watched him. He came up under some weeds. His nose came up. He opened his nostrils up, took a breath, and went right back down. Never put his eyes out. Just stuck his nose up at an angle. Never presented anything for a shot. Now, again, remember, an alligator season for the public season, you cannot use a rifle. To shoot a gator off a bank, you have to use hook and line, a snare, a hook and line basically, or a some type of grab. You can take a hook and throw with grab, you know, with rope. But you've got to bring that gator to the boat before he's dispatched. And you can dispatch him with a bang stick. We've talked about that before, or a handgun. Handgun is legal to take a gator, but the gator has to be in your possession at the boat. So you have to tire them out basically and reel them in.
Let me ask you a question here. We talk about safety, and I mean, I got a vision of like
holes in the boat. Oh yeah.
Well, I got a vision. Now let me just say this, and I say this with all due respect. I mean, I guess gator hunters are all types. I guess maybe you got very wealthy people and bankers and lawyers who maybe go gator hunting, but then I basically envision your bulk of gator hunters to be folks that kind of maybe grew up in the rural area and how am I trying to put this? Maybe aren't the sharpest tools in the shed. Maybe I should put it that way.
No,
my point, and please don't take that the wrong way, but I mean, do you have to warn them about the safety when you're talking about having, you know, taking the gator with a gun right there at the bow of the boat and things that could go wrong? I mean, let's just say, for example, you're about to pull the trigger and the gator, you know, he starts thrashing about and your gun gets knocked sideways. You're pulling the trigger and boom, you hit somebody or something.
Absolutely. You're correct, Phil. You have to have control of that firearm and control of the gator. That's why the rules require that you have that gator under control, tied up right next to the boat. Can't be moving and thrashing around. You got to be able to get him. So here's the way, the thing about the hook and line, when you take that gator with a, either with a bow or with fishing line, you know, the fishing bows, that gator takes off when he's first shot with that hook. It's just in his scooch, basically. And he takes off, and you're dragging him in. That's not going to kill him. That's just, you're just attaching to him, and you're going to basically wear him out dragging that boat around. And when he gets tired, and that sometimes can be an hour, 2 hours, whatever, and you get him reeled up to the boat, that's when you're taking the gator. You're literally taking him with the firearm then. And he should be worn down to where he's not really moving a lot. Yes, do you still have to be careful? Absolutely. They can have that second burst of energy. But taking that shot at the base of the head there, between the eyeballs, is, between the ears, basically is what it amounts to. But that's why you require by the rules to have that gator in your possession up to that boat. And most folks get him up there, they tie a rope around the tail, tie a rope around the head, and they basically pull him in both directions and hold him still so they can take a safe shot. But the bigger the gator, the bigger the fun. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, our phone number, 888-898-2525. Had a couple of folks holding. Lines have now opened up once again for Major Billy Downer. We'll get you right to him. We'll break in and get you right to him if you have a question or a comment for him. He's talking about the gator season here in South Carolina, which is going to be heating up. What does the heat do with the gators? I mean, we talk about, like, in fishing, when it's hot, the fish go down deep. It's hard to get them. What about the gators when the heat's turned up?
No, the gators are going to go out in the sun. You know, again, they're being a reptile, cold-blooded animals. They are basically, they require the sun to help them heat their body up. Just like snakes and everything else, they want to be in the sun. Turtles, same thing. They're going to get out in sun in hot weather. They're going to get out in that bank no matter how hot it is, and they're going to sun. That's just what they do.
Mm-hmm.
But because of that, most gator hunting is done at night because you can sneak up to the gators a little bit easier using throw motors and things and using the light to see, find their eyes on the water, and you ease up toward them. Again, the more they get harassed, though, the harder that becomes. But nighttime is when most people hunt because it is cooler and you can approach a gator a whole lot stealthier at night than you can in the daytime. The biggest thing about the gator season for us is particularly the public, what we call a public water, public lands hunt, is this is our main method to control alligator. We do have nuisance alligator agents. We talked about that so many years. We've talked about that, on the lake, like Lake Marion. We start getting gator complaints. I already started getting them now.
Mm-hmm.
Gators start showing up when it gets warmer like this from time to time, May, June, they really start showing up. And when the boating season pump hypes up, boats start getting out there, gators kind of leave. You don't see them in the morning, the evening, maybe that's it. They don't get out there with a lot of boating traffic because they don't want to get run over either. Right now is really when you start seeing gators, and it gets warm like this. You see a lot of gators that start coming up the docks. We always tell people don't feed the gators, but it doesn't matter. People will clean fish in the dock and throw the fish parts in the water, and that's gator food.
Mm-hmm.
Gators have a natural fear of humans that's removed. Again, simple brain. They see that food. They see you on the dock. So every time they see somebody come out the dock, they're thinking fish is going to hit the water. So when your four-year-old goes out the dock, the gator comes up. You think he's trying to eat your four-year-old. What he's doing is that gator's learned if a human comes to the dock, there's food coming soon because they're going to clean fish or whatever. So that's why we encourage folks not to dump fish parts in the lake when you're cleaning fish. Just don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we always say this, dogs taste like chicken, the gator. If a gator sees a dog, they are going after. That's just natural.
Oh, no. Let's don't be talking about that.
Well, they do, and that's the natural thing. So you keep your dogs away from the shoreline.
Did you say dog tastes like chicken?
Oh, yeah, to a gator. They look at that dog going, ooh, tastes like chicken. I'm telling you.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah, gators. They have an attraction to dogs, just like, that's their main course. If they see a dog, they will come to the shoreline. It's just something they'll do. And again, we've had instances where people walking dogs in areas where big gators have been, that has become a problem. We've heard the stories of a gator going after the dog, the person trying to fend the gator off, and that doesn't work out too well for the person. Because that gator is just such a big animal, such a strong, powerful animal, you're not going to win. between that tail, it knocks you off your feet. And that jaw is clamped down. They don't let go. Again, they don't come after humans, but we have more human-gator interaction a lot of times because of dogs, where the gator may be coming after the dog because people are walking the dog right next to the shoreline or letting the dog drink water or letting the dog on the end of their leash go into the water a few inches, and there's a big 12-foot gator sitting there. Well, that 12-foot gator's going after that dog. Make no mistake. So do not take your dogs around where alligators are seen frequently, because it's a bad story every time. But again, this season is how we control gators on our public waterways, Lake Marion, Lake Moultrie, down the coast. This is our opportunity to really control the population, because, folks go out there and they take these gators at night on public water, and that helps us control these larger animals and remove them so they're not problems in the future. So, again, this is just one of those methods we use the season to control it, along with the depredation where we have our alligator control agents that go out for complaint alligators. And then, of course, we have the private land season, which goes off the year. Private land tags are given to landowners who have alligator problems that can take alligators out in different methods on private land. So.
Ways
that we're trying to control.
Do you find that because the gators are so plentiful now and they're there for the taking in large numbers, are you finding that more and more hunters are moving in that direction, getting into alligator hunting versus something else at this particular time? Are you seeing more people involved?
Versus something else? It's not absolutely seeing more people involved. Not that they're leaving deer hunting to go alligator hunt, they're just adding alligator hunting to what they want to do. Our alligator draw now is very popular. It takes 3 years at least to get drawn, so you're going to have to get a couple of preference points. Kind of what we talk about the waterfowl season, how people have to put in for 3 and 4 years to get drawn for our public waterfowl hunts. Alligator season, the same thing. It's gotten very popular, so it's 3-4 years before you get drawn to take an alligator as well. So it's very popular. So get in now if you haven't. Make sure you don't skip a year. Keep putting your $10 in. Again, it's open from now, from May 1st through 5 p.m. on June 15th. So make sure you get your draw in. You can go online to put that or go in through the new app. Go Outdoors SC. Go Outdoors SC is the new app. You can load on your phone and do all your licensing information, apply for alligator tags, everything right there.
Mm-hmm.
Major, for our listeners who may enjoy hunting but have never actually hunted gators before, could you offer any advice of maybe recommendations of what caliber weapon is best to use or just weapons of choice that you may recommend to folks?
So you're talking about for alligators?
That's right.
All right, so remember again, the alligator for dispatching alligator has to be a bang stick, which is a very specific device that fishermen use underwater. So very specific, you can go online to find bang sticks. Generally, the bang stick has, I think, a .45 caliber bullet you screw into the front. So handguns, again, you can use a .22 handgun. That is effective with a solid lead core bullet on it. We'll take a gator out. A .40 caliber, .38, a .44 Magnum, all those also work. It's just about placement, putting it, at the right place in the gator, not just, you can't shoot in the body. You've got to shoot them in the head to take them out quickly so that they don't thrash about again, like Phil and I were talking about, and cause a situation that gets dangerous.
Okay, so to confirm, it's more about where you actually shoot it as opposed to what caliber weapon you're using.
Absolutely. It's about where you place the bullet. That's correct. You got to make sure you put that in the head, basically right there between the eyes is what it takes for a gator. Yeah. Again, that's why the rules say you have to have it under your control at the boat, so you can make a well-placed shot, so you make a quick, clean kill, because even though it's an alligator, we don't want the alligator to suffer, and we don't want to cause any danger for anyone on the hunt.
Typically,
Phil, you're right.
Yeah.
There's more than one person hunting. There's usually two or three guys out there hunting, or ladies, too, join in.
In the case that a gator gets you and bites you in some form or fashion, and you are able to get away or whatever, what are you likely facing there, dealing with a gator bite?
Well, first of all, a gator bite, gators don't let go typically.
so that's just that's their power is in closing the jaw, not opening it. It's closing it. You can hold a gator's jaw shut with your bare hands as long as he doesn't rip away from it, because the power in their jaw is in closing. Their teeth are not sharp. They're blunt. They're used for grabbing and holding. So they don't cut through meat. They just grab. So you're going to have puncture wounds, those kind of things. But, again, we don't see a large number of people. We used to be able to say we never had alligators attacking people. But because of the amount of people moving to our coast and to the waterways and folks just not using their head and getting too close to areas with dogs, like I talked about, we have had some instances where there's been alligator human interaction that was not well. Did not end up well for the human side of things.
Mm-hmm.
Folks have gotten hurt and killed. And it could be avoided because you just got to think. Don't take your dog down to the water in an area where you've seen 12-foot gator over and over again. There's a sign that says, beware alligators. Listen to it. Probably a reason it's there. Again,
do not ignore that sign, huh?
Yeah, do not ignore that sign. Again, remember, dogs taste like chicken to the alligator. They're coming after you. It doesn't have to be a schnauzer. They'll come after a lab. They don't care. A dog's a dog to them, and that becomes a prey item. So their fear is removed, and they're coming after it. And if you're sitting there attached to that dog with a leash, you're going to become part of the problem too. So just avoid that.
And you know, dog owners, they're not going to let go of that leash.
They're not. Yeah. And I wouldn't either. I wouldn't want to either. But the problems we have, again, are when people don't use their head and took the dog down to the water where they shouldn't have been anyway, where gators are at. So it's just being aware of your surroundings, watching. I'm not saying people can't take dogs to pond. I train dogs all the time in ponds, but we always make sure there's no gators there. And I've been a part of training in ponds where alligators show up, and you have to take the dog out, and you have to go get a permit to remove gators so you can use that pond again. That's just the process. And the alligators are constantly expanding their territory. And as you get into, when I say that, you come through the breeding season, you get males, the larger animals will push the smaller ones out. They will bite their tails off. They'll do anything. And these smaller gators, these four-footers, will be moving into new ponds all the time. And there may not be any swamp near that pond.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it may be a mile. That gator will walk a mile or several miles to get to a water, to get to a new place he can call his home and where he's not going to be bit off. His tail's not going to be bit off every time he tries to get in the water by the bigger guy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just a normal process. As we get into the spring, summertime, that starts happening. These gators start moving out. And you see gators showing up in places you've never seen them before, because they're getting pushed out by the bigger animals.
Major.
But back to your question.
Yeah, we got about a minute.
You don't want to get bit. You don't want to get bit by a gator. It's a bad bite. There are lots of bacteria inside a gator's mouth, certainly. But it's not the bacteria. We don't want to get bit by a gator. Don't get close enough to where you can get bit.
Yeah. Yeah, not a good feeling, I'm sure. We appreciate the great stuff tonight. Hope everybody who plans to get out there and get involved in gator hunting paid attention and doesn't, you don't want to be too cocky out there, right? You don't want to believe you're invincible when it comes to dealing with gators.
Absolutely. And that's, again, why we don't allow rifles in the water. Like you see on the alligator hunter, you can't do that. Shooting those bullets across the water is a dangerous idea because it skips.
How's your baseball game? I'm sorry, your softball game going?
Softball game, we're at the top of the seventh. 1-0, your Daniel Lyons is still on top.
Your Daniel Lyons, okay. Get that NIL money flowing over to the Daniel Lyons. Major, great stuff. As always, we thank you. Have a great couple of weeks. We'll catch back up with you in 2 weeks here on SC Wild. Always appreciate you.
See you. Thanks, sir.
Thank you very much.